This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
John Whitehead joins me live in studio. He is the founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. And you, sir, are headed to New York, where you are going to be on The View with Whoopi Goldberg and Barbara Walters and all those ladies.
That's right. First of all, I'd like to say it was good to see you interview Paul Rademacher, the Monroe Institute. Good group. I know Paul. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very interesting guy.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very interesting guy. Yeah, I'll be on The View next Tuesday, basically talking about zero tolerance policies in school and focusing on a case that we have in Spotsylvania County with Andrew Michael. He was a 14-year-old young man, a junior ROTC honor student who thought it would be cool. It didn't turn out to be too cool. To take his pen casing, which is plastic, it's about 3 inches long, and he had bought some little pellets that he got at a toy store, and they were hollow. They're very small. I can't, about the size of BBs, but they float, basically. So he thought it'd be cool to shoot a few kids in the hallway. Teacher saw him, and he was taken in that day to the school officials, who were very upset, and they charged him with, first of all, they were talking about a deadly weapon charge, a felony. And originally 10-day suspension. Then finally they kicked him out for the rest of the year. So he loses a half a year of education.
They kicked him out of school for the equivalent of a spit wad.
Yeah, basically. So
yeah. Yeah.
And so
my God.
he was probably headed to Annapolis. That will now not work. I asked him about where he'd like to go now. He said VMI. Hopefully, if this doesn't destroy his record. But he's an honor student. Like I said, junior art. His father's an Iraqi veteran who won various meritorious awards for developing safety practices for helicopters.
And he's a ninth grader at Spotsylvania High School.
Yeah.
And he's going to be on the show with you?
He'll be on the show with me, yes.
Okay. John Whitehead on The View next Tuesday morning. Don't miss it. What's ABC, right?
ABC, I think.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen to him? I mean, he's definitely out of school. There's no appeal or...
Well, we appealed today. You have to appeal to the circuit court here. We did that. And so we're asking the court to reverse the policy of the school. If they don't, then we have to go into court, maybe federal court. We may fall through the state courts. We haven't decided. It depends on what the court does. But since the mid-1990s, and to be honest with you, Rutherford basically pioneered fighting these cases. I started hearing about them about 1995, but... the drug policies in 20 states, kids have been thrown out for Alka-Seltzer for violating drug policies. We had a couple cases. One kid had his Lego set at school. And it was a small, like, one-inch Lego fellow. It was a policeman. And he had a little gun in his hand. He was expelled for having a weapon. This is crazy. These don't shoot. These are plastic.
It is crazy. And the first impulse is just to say, oh, my gosh, that's so silly. But kids are getting in trouble and they're getting kicked
nationwide
out of schools.
It's getting worse. I mean, a young man, and if you go to our website, I did a podcast today. We have pictures of all this. The little kid's holding his hat. He went to school, I think it was on one of the patriotic days. He had his little hat on and it had American flags around it. And on the bill, it had the little toy soldiers. They're like an inch long that crawl. I mean, what we play with.
Yeah, little army men.
Yeah. Threw him out of school for having a weapon. A kid popped a search mint in one school district. He had to go to drug counseling.
Because he took a breath mint.
Breath mint. We had a case where a fourth grader gargled scope after lunch, expelled for violating a drug policy. Scope, I didn't know, but it has alcohol. But you'd have to drink a lot of scope to get high.
Now, John, what do you say to somebody who's listening and says, well, those are just the rules?
They are the rules. The question is...
So if you violate the rules, you're out.
Well, if you read my commentary, I go through and analyze the basic problems, but... I think what schools are doing, and there are a number of things. The things I point out is they've lost the idea that, I mean, we want safe schools. But like Bill Clinton said recently, the safest place a kid can be is in school. And that's basically true. And the kids today are mild. We don't have a lot of bad kids. There's bullying that goes on. But generally, most American kids are good kids. Is we've lost the distinction between punishment and discipline. And that today we're punishing kids and not disciplining them. Yeah, I think detention... For most of these things, well, not the kids with the guns on their hats. That's stupid.
Yeah.
But like Andrew Michael, in school detention, maybe, you know, and deal with it, call his father in. But here they brought him in. They charged him with 3 misdemeanors. It's deferred prosecution. He's got 6 months if he makes one small mistake. I mean, he
That's
can be charged
crazy.
with
It's just crazy.
They deferred 3 criminal charges against the kid.
Something is very wrong in this country when this kind of stuff is normal and you have school boards and teachers standing behind this.
Another case that we got that I detail in here, one school district, I think it was in California, had a no cell phone policy. Well, young man was walking in the hallways. He got a phone call. He flipped it. It was his father. His father's in Iraq. He called to talk to his son. Kid answered cell phone. Teacher saw it. He was expelled from school. So what we've done is we're just kind of – and now the police are brought in. The police were brought in, Andrew Michael here. Before the father, the parents didn't even – the police talked to him before the parents even got there. They didn't even call the parents after all this happens. That's another problem I have with
that. Yeah, putting him in a room with police officers.
Yeah, I mean, if that happened to my child, I'd be very upset. They're teaching kids a bad political science lesson, I think, and that is that you really have no rights. There's no hearings. You're charged. You're out.
Yeah.
And it's severe punishment. They send them home. And around the country, and even here in Virginia, the complaints about the so-called home education they provide. I mean, so what do we want? We want our kids to stay in school. These kind of infractions, throwing a kid out for a Lego, we want the kids to stay in school. I mean, when I was a kid, I mastered in spitballs.
And yeah.
what they would do.
And you weren't expelled for it.
No, they'd call my parents.
Yeah.
And my mom came one time, I remember. They pulled me out of class. In the hallway, she spanked my butt, put me back in class, and I was a great student for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
At least 2 or 3 days.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. The phone lines are open.
What I'm saying is there's a different way to handle it, but we're teaching kids that have really no rights. The schools don't do a good job of teaching civics anyway, and now you're teaching them to be very compliant and be severe.
Well, and punishment. You and I have talked about this before, and I think we share this concern that we are the big lesson that they're graduating from these elementary and high schools with is to be very comfortable with a police state
so that as they
get older, they're much less likely to question things like TSA searches and the Patriot Act.
Yeah, because if you do, you're going to get in trouble if you question them. They'll remember that. If you've ever been in we had a case in New Jersey where four boys were on the playground playing cops and robbers with their fingers going bang, bang. They pulled them in and expelled them from school for violating the weapons policy. I always said, what's the worst thing you can do with a finger? Poke somebody in the eye. Maybe. But that was all they were doing. And the one of the children that we were working with there, he wanted to be a policeman. That was his goal in life. He went through problems. He didn't want to deal. He didn't want to be a policeman. He had to go through counseling. I mean, another case we got involved in. This shows you how weird it gets. It was a young kid. I forget. Was it Pennsylvania? I think was the state. We've been involved so many. He threatened to shoot a little girl across the room. He was like a sixth grader with a spit wad. It was a wet spit wad. It was a rubber band. Took him out of class. He was expelled. They called the police. That night at midnight around there, the police actually arrived at the home, and the parents answered the door, and there stands two police, and they said, "We come to investigate the shooting incident."
My God.
So
that's unbelievable.
I thought these cases would lessen, but they haven't. They get it worse.
Get worse.
Legos. Kids with little soldiers on their hats.
Do you think it's because there's no – but where is the political will to stand up and say this is absolutely ridiculous and this has gone too far? Because everybody's – they're afraid they would lose an election if, you're going to be soft on any type of anything related to crime.
I think there's been a mindset change. I sit around and think, why is this happening? I think, the schools, of course, are bureaucracies, but there's been an idea that there's something dangerous about children today, whatever it is. And we see it, with the way generally society works today with the so-called surveillance state. We're all viewed as suspects, essentially, because we're all watched all the time. But for some reason, I don't know. I mean, I feel sorry for kids in school today because if you wear the wrong kind of T-shirt. I mean, I grew up in the 60s where you expressed yourself. You wonder why kids put their heads down and they're not interested in school?
Yeah.
Where's the debate? I mean, this is something that, and other kids think it's nuts. They have to. I mean, I talk to kids. They think some of this stuff that happens is crazy. You throw a kid out for having a Lego at school? We had a case where a young man in Louisiana had an uncle, I think, was in Iraq. And he drew a picture of his uncle with a gun charging, just, it was just kind of a stick thing. Took it to school. He pulled out of his lunchbox. The student saw it. The teacher saw it. He was expelled from school for violating the weapons policy. But what can you do with a piece of paper? We had another case. Just show you how crazy it is.
Because he drew a picture of his uncle who had a gun. Who's a soldier.
Soldier.
It's just insanity, John.
But We had a case where a young man wore to school one of those Liberty shirts that had the gun on it. I think this was in Michigan. They put him in detention immediately. They were going to expel him and put a guard outside the room. The room they put him in, however, behind his head was a Marine Corps recruiting poster where the Marines came in. It had a, a Marine charging with a rifle. Amazing. We won the case. Don't worry. That was an easy one.
Let's rejoin our conversation with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. Efforts to renew the Patriot Act today recently have failed due to Tea Party conservatives who say, I can't support this. This is unconstitutional. And I ran on the Constitution. Not all of them are doing that, we should point out. Many of them who ran on the Constitution are renewing the Patriot Act, which is mind-blowing. But the Republicans have said, well, we're just going to bring it back. And we'll go to a big
It'll
mass.
It'll probably pass, yes. Yeah. That's what they're saying.
And they want to renew this. And you've written a terrific commentary on this recently.
Yeah, Rutherford.org. People should read the commentaries we're talking about, the one on zero tolerance as well. Yeah, the Patriot Act, you know, which became law in 2001. In the Senate, by the way, there was only one vote against it, Russ Feingold, who lost, by the way, in this last election to a Tea Party-backed Republican. But the thing is, Feingold gave that great speech, the lone senator to vote against it, where he said, this is going to move us into a police state. And he had seen the provisions, 342 pages. Almost everybody that voted on it was rushed through very quickly. No one read it. Nobody in the House or the Senate read it. And they admitted that it moved so fast. But everybody was in a patriotic fervor at the time.
And the administration was saying, we need these tools to fight terrorism.
We need to fight terrorism. But you know, some of the provisions, and I outline them, I go through basic line by line the commentary. But, you know, it allowed sneak and peek searches where the FBI agents can go into your home, search it, and they don't have to tell you with a search warrant, but they don't have to tell you. While they're in there, they could put the so-called magic lantern on your computer, which downloads all information. And on the next search, they come in and find out what you've been typing on your computer. They can go into your bank's, you know, doctor's office, wherever, your educational records, and demand those without you knowing it. There was a provision where they could just find out whatever books you checked out in the library. That was changed several years later. But even in bookstores now, that hasn't. If you go to a bookstore, they can find out what you're reading, what you're buying. But virtually every transaction, they can go into churches, mosques under the Patriot Act, watch the sermons, see what people are saying, meetings. Listen in on attorney-client conversations, which is an egregious violation of the Bill of Rights. Read your emails. And then there's the nefarious national security letters, which is basically the FBI shows up at your door and they have this national security letter, which on their say-so, without a search warrant, they can demand records and whatever. So it bypasses the Fourth Amendment. There's all kinds of provisions in the Patriot Act, which people over time have screamed about. It was renewed. It was supposed to sunset in 2005, but it was renewed under Bush, and then it was renewed last year under President Obama, who signed it into law, and who will sign it again if it's renewed. So I don't know any civil libertarian out there worth its salt that doesn't think this is one of the worst things ever. And it basically says the Fourth Amendment's dead. You have no protection. I mean, if people can come into your homes and you don't know you're there and search your home, download stuff from your computer,
then you have no Fourth Amendment. Yeah.
If they can listen on your telephone calls without you knowing it. And then there's the roving wiretap provision in the Patriot Act, which allows not just a search warrant to find out what you're saying, but once they get the authorization, wherever you go the rest of your life, whatever, cell phones, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This is that thing, John, is there are a lot of people who are comfortable with this because they've been so frightened that they believe that, well, we just need to sacrifice our freedom so that we can stay safe. You know, they've been affected by the fear, and now they live in fear as a lot of leaders would have it. That's what they prefer.
Yeah, but I guess the question always comes down to, as we look at our government, and as I argue in this particular commentary, and I didn't go into detail because some information came out after I wrote it, but records were just released, 2,500 records from the FBI since 2000, between 2002 and 2008, it's been discovered the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, had 40,000 violations of civil liberties they conducted from listening in on phone calls, lying in court to get search warrants. That just came out. That's my commentary next week on some of that. But I think if we go back to the history of government, we just have to be very careful. The American government has never been a staunch supporter of, especially the intelligence agencies, civil liberties. The FBI wiretapped Martin Luther King's phone.
Yeah.
sent him letters telling him they were going to commit suicide or they were going to reveal private facts of his life. Remember the McCarthy era? As we emerged out of the 1960s, the FBI was listening on peaceniks and the marches and demonstrations. Just recently, it was revealed that the FBI has infiltrated Quakers demonstrations, peace demonstrations, PETA groups standing out in front of buildings of different so-called peace organizations. They've been raiding homes recently, confiscating
records.
Of
anti-war activists.
Exactly,
yeah.
Anti-war activists. So there's something going on that's not quite healthy. It's the kind of stuff that I think we talked about that people have complained about in Egypt. But Americans,
that's what I'm sitting here thinking about, is these people in, you know, Tahrir Square who are screaming, we want a democratic government. We're not anti-government. We want a government that's free and is democratic and protects the liberties that we were born with. And that is the whole theory behind a democratic free government. And I'm sitting here, you're describing this country taking shape that we live in now, and that's a lot of what they're fighting in Egypt.
It doesn't look good. 1976, President Ford created what he called the Oversight Intelligence Committee under the White House, which is supposed to look over the FBI and the intelligence agencies. George Bush dismantled it after 2001, essentially. Barack Obama hasn't strengthened it at all. So really, there's no oversight on these people. They're doing whatever they want to do. And I would say, I remember when I came out against the Patriot Act about 2002, an FBI agent that we had been working with called our office and was laughing. He says, what are you so upset about? We've been doing this stuff for years. All this does is put in writing what we can
do. Business as normal, yeah.
So I think what we need is, and what I'm going to be calling for, is to reinstitute the Oversight Intelligence Commission, the President of the United States, and let's start making sure these people are not violating our rights. If I happen to be against the war, they have no right to crash in my door and without sufficient reason.
Yeah,
and they've been doing that. That's been in the news over the last several months. So,
yeah. Read the essay online, folks. It's Rutherford.org. Take a moment to get to the website. There's lots of good stuff there, video and lots of written commentary from John Whitehead. And check him out next Tuesday morning on The View. You tell Whoopi we said hello, okay?
I shall. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you, John, so much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.